Actually, what I want you to do tonight is do this for me, please. Get Hosea 10 in one hand, okay? But then it'll save time if you'll get two other portions of Scripture and put a bookmarker or something in there. Isaiah, if you go back, okay, just go back to the left, several books through Jeremiah, and then go to Isaiah chapter 5. Grab that in one hand and keep it there during the whole study tonight, please. Keep it. Keep Isaiah 5. We'll be going back and forth. And then Psalm 80. If you keep going to your left from Isaiah, you're going to go through Proverbs and Psalm, and then come to Psalms. Go to Psalms 80 and get Psalms 80. So you should have three things in hand. Psalm 80, Isaiah 5, Hosea 10. Say it one more time, just in case, you know, I know how it is. Psalm 80, Isaiah 5, Hosea 10. All right. You know, if you... this was kind of fascinating to me. That you remember in Numbers 13, and I'm not going to have you turn there right now, but in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, do you remember when the spies were going in to Canaan land to spy it out when Israel was about to go in? And you remember when they went in there... Do you remember that they were talking about how plentiful the land was? And does anybody remember a place called... It's actually pronounced Eshkol. I looked it up. It's Eshkol. Does anybody remember that place called Eshkol? They came unto the brook of Eshkol. And the Bible says that when the spies were in there, they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes on it. And they actually had to bear that branch on a staff, two guys, one on one end of the staff and one guy on the other end. And the grapes were so luscious and beautiful and big, and there was just so many. And I guess the branch was so heavy that they had to put it on a staff and two guys had to carry it. And it says the place was called the Brook of Eshkol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And so, as I studied for this lesson, I found out that grapes are a luscious fruit, of course, cultivated on vines, but Israel's soil and Israel's climate is well suited for vineyards. I'll give you an example here. This is actually a vineyard that you see in Israel. And you see all the vines, you know, going up. And here's kind of a close-up shot here. And I don't know how well you can see it, but you notice, you know, you've got the vine here, and then you've got all the branches, you know, coming out of the vine. Remember what Jesus said? I am the what? The vine. You're the branches. You abide in me, you bring forth what? Fruit. And you see the grapes here coming off the branches. And so Israel was a place that was very well suited to be able to do that kind of thing. Well, in Isaiah 5, and keep your bookmarker now in all three of those places. In Isaiah 5, there in verse 7, he said, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." So he calls Israel the vineyard of the Lord of hosts. But now go to Hosea 10 and look at verse 1. Hosea is a prophet crying out against the sin of Israel. Israel has forsaken God. They've left God. And they have chased after idols. They've committed whoredom against God. And look what he cries out in Hosea 10, verse 1. Israel is an what? An empty vine. Now, what I want to do tonight, and I want to dive right in. In this lesson, and boy, I enjoyed studying this out, we're going to embark on a fascinating study tonight as we consider Israel the vine of God. As you follow the illustration of the vine, it provides for us a complete understanding of Israel's past, their history, and their prophetic future. You say, "Pastor," and I know some of you are thinking this, "why is that important? Why is it that I would need to understand the past of Israel and the prophetic future? I'm a Gentile. I'm living in 2007. in Daytona Beach, Florida, why would I need to know about Israel's past and Israel's prophetic future? Here's why. One of the absolute keys to understanding your Bible is to understand Israel. Now listen, if you don't understand Israel, you're not going to understand your Bible completely. You're not ever going to get out of that book what God intended for you to get out of it if you don't understand God's purpose, God's plan, and God's prophetic program for the nation of Israel. You are not going to get out of the Word what you need to get. Because here's the deal. When you understand Israel in Scripture, then what happens is now you understand where you're at in Scripture. Now you understand, okay, I'm not Israel. And now you begin to understand who you are. You begin to understand where you're at in the plan of God. You begin to understand, okay, here's Israel, but here I am. So it is absolutely crucial. Now hopefully at the end of the lesson, you're going to have a better grasp of your Bible, because you're going to have a better grasp of Israel, their past and their future. Now, having said that, I want to dive in and I want to give you some things here about Israel in the Bible as the vine of God. Number one, Israel, a vine planted by God. Hosea says Israel is an empty vine. What does that mean? Well, it isn't that there was no fruit. Look at Hosea 10:1. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit. But what's the problem? What's the next two words? Unto himself. Now, you know, there was fruit, okay, but not the kind of fruit you would expect. Now, God knew what kind of fruit to expect. Because in your handout there, it says that God is the one that planted Israel as a vine. God knew what kind of fruit to expect from the vine, because God's the one that planted the vine. Look up here at the screen at Jeremiah 2:21. God said in the book of prophet Jeremiah, He said to Israel, "Yet God said, I planted thee." Who planted them? God. "I planted thee a noble" what? "Vine. Holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine?" Notice, "a strange vine unto me." Go to Psalm 80. Okay, now keep your bookmarker in all those three places though. Stay with me in Hosea. Look at Isaiah 5. This is kind of a great text here about the vine. I'm sorry, Psalm 80, yeah. We will go to Isaiah 5. Isaiah's good, but we're not going to go there yet. Psalm 80. All right, Psalm 80. Look with me at verse 8. Notice God says, this is a great psalm, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen." And what did God do? He what? He planted it. So here we go all the way back to when Israel was in bondage in Egypt. And you remember the man who let them out? Who was the man that let them out of the bondage? Moses. And so Moses leads them out of bondage. And the Bible says, God says, here in verse, look at it again, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt." And then what did he do? He took the seven heathen nations that were in Canaan. He took those seven heathen nations, cast them out, and then he planted Israel there in the land of Canaan. Look with me at verse 15. "And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself." So God brought a vine out of Egypt, planted it. Now question, why do you plant a vine? You want fruit. That's right. God planted Israel in Canaan land as a vine, a vineyard. Why? Because he wanted them to bring forth fruit. What do I mean by that? Look in your handout. It says God expected the fruit of a righteous nation that would bring glory to him. Now go to Isaiah. But we're not done in Psalms, so don't leave there. But look at Isaiah 5. Look what God expected here. Isaiah 5:7. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant." And look what did God look for? And he looked for judgment. That just means justice. Okay? God was looking for judgment, for justice, for right living. But behold, oppression. All he found was instead of justice, they were just oppressing the poor, oppressing, you know, all the weak people. Look at this. God said, I was looking for righteousness, but behold, a cry. God said, I planted you a noble vine. God said, I was looking for fruit. I was looking for a just and a righteous nation. But, of course, number two, Israel, a vine blessed by God. Get that in your handout. A vine blessed by God. I saw Brother Rich go back there. He's going to do business back there? All right. A vine blessed by God. Let me ask you a question. Was there any reason... All my pastors are leaving. Is it taken care of, Rich? It's taken care of. All right. I got three pastors going to take care of one baby. How about that? All right. A vine blessed by God. All right. Listen, was there any reason why Israel could not bring forth fruit? Yes or no? There was no reason why they couldn't, because did you know the Bible teaches God Himself was the vine dresser that planted that vine for Israel? Look with vine of Israel. Look at Psalm 80, verse 8. Everybody go over to Psalm 80, verse 8 again. We read this earlier. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Now look at verse 9. Thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says that God took that vine, Israel, He planted that vine, but then the Bible says that He caused it to take deep root. God caused the nation of Israel to take deep root and to fill the land. God blessed the nation of Israel abundantly. Look at Psalm 80, verse 10. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Man, God blessed this nation abundantly. He was the vine dresser. He planted the vine. He's the one that caused it to take root. He's the one that blessed it. Now, I want you to do this. Go to 1 Kings chapter 4, and I want to show you, if you go back to 1 Kings, okay, back towards the front part of your Old Testament, 1 Kings 4, and I want to just show you real quickly how God had blessed Israel. Now, this is under the reign of Solomon, King David's son. And in 1 Kings 4, look at verse 20. 1 Kings 4, verse 20. Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. And they brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. Verse 25, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Verse 29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that's on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. Look at the end of the verse. And his fame was in all nations round about. Look at verse 34. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. But in the midst of all this glorious blessing came a stern warning. Look at 1 Kings chapter 9. Turn over to chapter 9 and notice the stern warning God gave to his vine that he planted. 1 Kings 9:4. The Lord said, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But, look at verse 6, But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye are your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I've set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. Then will I what? Cut off Israel out of the land which I've given them, and this house which I've hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss. And they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Wow, isn't that a warning, huh? It was God who planted you. It was God who blessed you. And so the Lord says, don't forget me. I'm the one that blessed you. I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one that planted you. I'm the one that's blessed you. I'm the one that's been good to you. So don't forget me. Don't forget me. Did they forget God? Look at the next thing in your handout. Israel, a vine bringing forth defiled fruit to God. Now, this is interesting as I was studying this out. Did you know under the Old Testament law, according to Deuteronomy 22:9, under the Old Testament law of Israel, here's what he told them. It is interesting. He said, never sow your vineyard with two different kinds of seeds. And he said in Deuteronomy 22:9, lest the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. Don't ever mix seeds. Don't ever go to your vineyard and mix seeds, and don't ever go in there and plant two different kinds of seeds, because he said what's going to happen is your vineyard will be defiled. That was under their law. Yet that is exactly what Israel had done spiritually speaking. You see, God had planted true worship in that nation. He gave them the Mosaic law. He gave them the ordinances. He gave them all the different feasts and all the different ways of approach to Him. They had the tabernacle. They had priests. They had all this system of true worship. But do you know what Israel did? They planted the seed of idolatry with the seed of true worship. And look at Hosea 10, verse 2. Their heart is what? Divided. Their heart is divided. You know, Denise, you guys sung a song, remember? Lord, give me an undivided heart. That's the verse that song comes from. Lord, give me an undivided heart. Israel did not have an undivided heart. The Bible says their heart was defiled, or their heart was divided. So do you know what the result was, church? Because their heart was divided between the seed of true worship and the seed of idolatry, because of that, the result was defiled fruit. And in your handout it says they had taken the blessings of God and used them to increase their pagan altars and images. They took the blessings of God and used them to increase their pagan altars. Look at Hosea 10, verse 1. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath, notice this, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they've made goodly images. Do you know what that just said? God said, you took all the things I gave you, all the goodly things I gave you from the land, and you used them for images. You took my blessings, and you took my blessings, and Hosea 2:8 says that they didn't know, Hosea 2:8, remember that verse where he said, they didn't know I'm the one that gave them the corn and the wine and all these blessings. He says, they don't know I'm the one that gave them that. He says, they went and they prepared them for Baal. They took their blessings and they prepared their blessings for Baal. They took the blessings of God and used them to increase their pagan altars. I guess a similar thing today would be when we take the blessings of God and we take our paycheck and we use it on ungodly things. And we make ungodly decisions with our money. And we waste it. And we use it on frivolous things that don't matter. Or we use it on wicked, corrupt things. Wicked, corrupt movies, or wicked and corrupt literature, or wicked and corrupt things. And we take the blessings of God and use it to increase wickedness in our lives. That's what they did. And in Isaiah 5, go there with me. That's one of the passages I had you turn to. Look how God is just lamenting over this thing, the defiled fruit. Isaiah 5:1. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it. Look what God did. He fenced it. He gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth what? Wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. Look how God is lamenting over this. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I've not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. What more could I have done to my vineyard that I've not done in it? God planted Israel a noble vine, turned into a degenerate plant. Christian, can I apply this real quickly? Did you know that when God saved you, did you know He planted the Holy Spirit in you? Did you hear me? He planted His Spirit in you. He didn't plant you in a land. He did something better. He planted His very Spirit in you. And God planted His Spirit in you when you got saved. And not only that, just like He planted Israel in the land and blessed them, God planted His Spirit in you, and He blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. It's not that I'm trying to attain the blessings. He said He's already blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So He planted His Spirit in me. He blessed me. But guess what? When God planted Israel in the land and blessed them, what did He expect? He expected what? Fruit. When God planted His Spirit in you, Christian, and blessed you abundantly, what do you think God expects from you? Fruit. Did you know God expects to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Oh, Christian, do you hear me tonight? God expects the fruit of love. He expects you to be manifesting the fruit of love, and joy, and peace, long-suffering, patience. We should be patient with one another. Isn't it hard to be patient with some people? But would saw that. But wouldn't the fruit of the Spirit, wouldn't that cause us to be patient? Amen? The fruit of the Spirit brings forth goodness. It brings forth gentleness. It brings forth meekness. I don't have to be self-willed and always have my way. Meekness. It brings forth temperance. I'm controlled by His Spirit, not by my fleshly lusts. It brings forth faith. You know, when God planted His Spirit in you and He blessed you with all spiritual blessings and He gave you His Word, God said, I expect some fruit. He told the Philippians, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. In your handout, it says, once you know the grace of God, it should bring forth precious fruit. If you'll look at the screen real quickly, I got to hustle here. Colossians 1, look at what He told the Colossian church. He said, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now notice this, next verse, which is come unto you. Now look, follow it. The gospel of Christ had come unto them. Look, as it is in all the world, what does the gospel naturally do? It bringeth forth what? Isn't that cool? The gospel brings forth fruit. Christ in you brings forth fruit. And it says, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. When I know the grace of God and I've experienced the grace of God and God has planted His Spirit in me, it should bring forth fruit. Look at Romans 6:20 right here. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Death. But look at the next verse. But now being made free from sin, I've been saved, I've been delivered. Being made free from sin and become servants to God, He says, now you have your fruit unto what? Holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Number whatever, four is it? Number four, Israel, a vine judged by God. Now I want to show you this. Stay in Isaiah 5. In your handout, now let me explain something. Vineyards, what they would do with vineyards, they were hedged or fenced to protect them from wild animals. Because what would wild animals do? Come in there and eat the fruit. So what they do is they would hedge these vineyards, and they would hedge them to protect them, fence them. They'd even put a tower in them so they could look out for these wild beasts and things. In your handout, it says, because Israel had become a degenerate plant and brought forth defiled fruit, God would take down the hedges that He had built around His people. Boy, isn't that sad? God was going to take down the hedges of protection around His vineyard, Israel. Look at Isaiah 5:5. Isaiah 5:5. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Look what God says. I will take away the what? The hedge thereof. And it shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. God says, listen, look at me, Christian. God says to them, basically, you can't live this way and expect me to protect you. You can't live this way and expect me to protect you any longer. You have thumbed your nose at me. You have made a mockery of righteousness and holiness. You bring forth defiled fruit unto me. Don't think I'm going to keep my hedge around you when you're living this way. And that's primarily the subject of Hosea 10. If you go back there, that's the subject of Hosea 10. And God's going to take down the hedges. He's going to bring judgment. Verse 3, Hosea 10:3. He's going to take away their king. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Lord. Look at verse 15. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. God's going to take away their idols. Look at verse 2. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. Verse 5. The inhabitants of Samaria, that's Israel, shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven, that they'd set up a calf, a golden calf, and worshipped it. For the people thereof shall mourn over it. They're going to mourn over it. Verse 8. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. God was going to take away their fortresses. Verse 14. Therefore shall a tumult arise among the people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled. Israel was going to be taken captive. They were going to be destroyed and taken captive by another nation, the Assyrians. And Hosea's crying out. He's like the warning sign. Listen to me. You're an empty vine. God planted you. He's blessed you. But you've brought forth defiled fruit. You've taken the blessings and increased your idolatry with them. And judgment's coming. God's going to judge the vine. So Hosea is this prophet, and he's crying out at the top of his lungs for Israel to get their heart right with God before they are destroyed by the Assyrians. Verse 6, "It shall be also carried unto Assyria, that golden calf, for a present to King Jerob." In other words, the Assyrians are going to come. "And Ephraim," that's Israel, "shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel." Why was God going to judge His beloved vineyard? Their own stubbornness and their own self-will would lead to chastisement and judgment. Verse 10, "It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows." Verse 13, "Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity." Boy, you could preach on that a while. You've plowed wickedness, and so what have you done? You've reaped what? Iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies. Because now I underline in my Bible here the word thy. Notice, because thou didst trust in what? Thy way. In the multitude of what? Thy mighty men. Their trust was in themselves, self-will. Let me give you the last thing in your handout, and we're done. Israel, a vine restored by God. Question, church, will Israel ever be the fruitful vine that God intended for them to be in the earth? Yes or no? Go to Hosea 14 real quickly and we'll be done. Hosea 14. Hosea 14. And of course, we'll get to this chapter eventually. And verse 4. Hosea 14, 4. Look what God says. "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the what? Vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon." Read Zechariah 8. Read Romans 11. God, listen. One of the biggest mistakes that leads to false doctrine today, most of your Protestant denominations and Catholics and so forth believe that God is forever done with Israel, He's through with them, He's set them aside forever, and now we're Israel. And they claim the blessings of God that God promised to Israel, they spiritualize those promises, and they claim them for the church today. But of course, they like to leave the curses for Israel, you know, but take the blessings, you know. And so they've taken all the blessings of Israel and said, they're ours. We're Israel now. Church, are we Israel? Yes or no? No, we are not Israel. And anybody who tries to take a verse out of context to prove that is wrong. We are not Israel. Okay? Listen. God made covenant promises to that physical seed, and He plans to keep His promises to the nation of Israel. Now, I'm going to end with Psalm 80. Go over to Psalm 80, where we were earlier. And this is so good right here. What's it going to take to restore Israel to the place of being a fruitful vine again? Psalm 80. "One day Israel will be a fruitful vine in the whole earth. There'll be a blessing to all nations." What's it going to take for them to be a fruitful vine? Well, Psalm 80 holds the key. Verse 14. Look what the remnant of Israel in the last days is going to cry out. What's the very first word? "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold," and what? Say it again. "Visit this vine." They said, the remnant cries out, "God, return and visit this vine." And in your handout it says that's exactly what God's going to do. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will return in the last days. He's going to quicken the believing remnant of Israel and save them. Look at verse 17. Psalm 80, verse 17. And here it is. "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand." I wonder who that would be, huh? "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be what? Say, Paul said in Romans 11, out of Zion will come a deliverer, the Lord. And he says he's going to turn ungodliness away from Jacob. And he said, so all Israel shall be saved. God said, for this is my covenant unto them. Now you got to get this, folks, and you got to understand this, okay? This will open up for you John 15. John 15, if you'll just turn there real quickly, and that's the last place I'll have you go. I know you don't believe me, but it's the last place. John 15 in the New Testament. I was really hoping I'd have time. I got 5 minutes. Listen, John 15, Israel, Israel failed to be the fruitful vine God intended them to be, right? So, what did Jesus Christ come on the scene and declare in John 15, 1? What did he tell Israel? Okay, they were a degenerate vine, but what does he say in verse 1? I am the what? I'm the true vine, and my Father's the husbandman. In other words, what he's saying here, look, Israel, remember, Christ's earthly ministry was solely to Israel. When he came to the earth, he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he goes to Israel and he says, you were to be the vine, but you failed miserably. Jesus says, I've come to give you new life. If you'll trust in me and abide in me, I'll give you that fruitfulness that you can't find in yourself. In other words, he tells Israel, Christ does, fruitfulness and blessing is to be found in me, Israel. I'm the vine. You are branches that must abide in the vine. If Israel is to have any hope of seeing their glorious kingdom restored, if they're going to become the vine of blessing to the whole earth that God intended, it is only to be found in Christ. In the last days, if you look at your chart, in the last days there where it says tribulation there, 7 years. If you look at that chart, in the last days, there will be a remnant in Israel who are going to recognize Christ as the true vine. They're going to become attached to the vine, Christ. But there'll also be those who will not recognize Christ as the vine. What's going to happen to them? Look at John 15, 6. What's going to happen to those in Israel that will not acknowledge Christ as the true vine, as their Savior, their Deliverer, the true vine, the source of life and power and blessing? Here's what's going to happen, John 15, 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the what? Fire, and they are burned. You know, we take John 15 many times, and we use it for the church age today, and there's certainly great application there. You got to understand, though, doctrinally, he's speaking to Israel about the fact you failed to be the vine, now the true vine has come to you. If you, Israel, if you will believe on me, if you will abide in me, if you will trust me, then I will make you fruitful. I'll make you the fruitful vine that I intended for you to be. But those of you in Israel that will not trust me, you will not choose to abide in me, you will not choose to recognize me as the vine, then you are going to be cast forth and burned. Look with me at Matthew 13 and notice how this matches. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels. This is at the end of the tribulation. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels. They shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Let's go on. And shall cast them into a furnace of what? Fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Is there another verse or no? Is there another one? Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Man, I wish I had another 30 minutes. No, I can't. Listen, look up here and I'm done. Those in Israel who abide not in unbelief, Romans 11, 23 and 24, they abide not in unbelief, but they abide in Christ. You know what's going to happen? That believing remnant will become one with the vine, Christ. Israel will become the fruitful vine that God intended for them to be. Look at John 15, verse 4. Jesus said to Israel here, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, Israel, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much what? Fruit. For without me you can do what? Nothing. Now again, there's great application for us today, okay? And we know that we too must trust Christ. We too must abide in him. We too must look to him as our source for everything. But the doctrinal context here is that he's saying, look, Israel, once you're found in me, once Israel is found in the vine, in Christ, they're going to bring forth the sweet fruit as the vine that God intended for them to be. In your handout, it says the church is never referred to as a vineyard or vine, only Israel. But there's great application. Okay, look in your handout. There's great application for us. Okay, in your handout it says, as we are strengthened by His glorious power, Christ makes us fruitful in every good work. Just like Israel's going to have to find their place in Christ before they become the vine God intended for them to be, we too, once we find our place in Christ, then we become fruitful. Look in your handout at Colossians 1, 10 and 11. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being what? Fruitful, God says. God wants you to be fruitful. This goes along with Sunday's message. Being fruitful in every good work. Remember Titus? Good works, good works, good works, good works. He says, I want you to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How do I do it, Brother Larry? Do I try real hard? Do I grip my teeth? Do I say, I know I can do it, I know I can do it? No. Look at the next verse. How do I become fruitful? Strengthened with all might according to whose glorious power? His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I become fruitful through His power working through me. All right. Well, Israel, the vine of God, I encourage you to take that chart home. Study it. I've got all that on the chart for you. Read it, study it, and know where you're at. One of the things I didn't even have a chance to hit on the chart, you know, where are we at on this chart? Can anybody tell me where are we at? We're in the dispensation of grace where Israel has been set aside temporarily, okay, while he is bringing in this Gentile church. But after we're called out, okay, at the rapture, then God's going to begin working with Israel again. Christ will return and they'll become that fruitful vine that God intended for them to be because they'll be abiding in Christ. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings and thank you for your word. And it's just so rich and powerful. Lord, as we see, God, your plan and prophetic program for Israel, it helps us to see where we're at. And Lord, we see some great application for our lives. Lord, Israel, we know, Lord, they forsook you. They forsook the place of blessing in you. Lord Jesus, you came and you offered them life, and they rejected that. But we thank you that you've made your grace available to all nations and all people today. Thank you, we can be a part of that. Father, I pray now that you will bless, Lord, your word tonight. May we grow in your word, know where we're at in the plan of God. Know, Lord, that we're not Israel, but Lord, we're the body of Christ. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.